into hour number three. Coming up, Daniel Estulin, Roger Stone, and more. But for the next 30 minutes, Edward Dowd makes a lot of excellent predictions. He is a Wall Street professional, HSBC, BlackRock, you name it. He worked all over Wall Street, the sell and buy side, expert in fixed income equities capital. He is currently, as a hedge fund, he's launched a lot more at, on Twitter at Dowd Ward, and of course on Getter at Edward Dowd. And some stations don't carry this first five, but I wanted to get him going now with the limited time we have on what's really happening in the stock market worldwide and where the contagion came from. So, Edward, thank you.
Hi, how are you doing today, Alex? Just wanted to weigh in on what's going on economically. The real economy hasn't been good for the better part of a year and a half. The Biden administration went on a government spending spree and created a lot of government jobs. We were predicting a recession in Q3, Q4 of last year. That ended up being wrong because of what the government did with the spending and the fraudulent payroll numbers, which even the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said there's some questions about the payroll numbers. So the backdrop was we were rolling over beginning in 22. They juiced the economy. They were trying to get it into the elections to get the pass. Our economic indicators bounced off recessionary levels, never made it into expansion territory, and started rolling over again in March. So the economy is rolling over hard, the real economy. And then something broke this weekend. We've been tracking this for the better part of 8 months. The Bank of Japan raised interest rates 25 basis points for the first time in like 10 years. And they'd had zero negative interest rate policy forever. And that caused what's the unwinding of the yen carry trade, which set off a margin call. Now, it's important to know that Japan has unfortunately been under, their currency has been under pressure because the Federal Reserve raised interest rates from 0 to 5.5%. And Japan did not raise interest rates. And what happened was their currency came under pressure and started to decline versus the dollar and got to levels we haven't seen since the 90s. About two and a half weeks ago, the U.S. dollar yen trade was at 160. Since they raised interest rates, we had unprecedented currency moves in Japan, and it went to 142, and it blew up the yen carry trade. What people need to understand is the Japanese banks had some of the largest one-day drops in over 30 years. So the Japanese banking system is being exposed. So what usually happens is the Fed lowers interest rates to pump the economy, get the animal spirits going. They usually leave them low for too long. We had a 14-year regime with low interest rates. Bubbles form. Then they raise interest rates when inflation shows its head like it did after COVID. And then something breaks. Japan is the first thing to break, and it's now the beginning of ripple effects. The real economy is bad, so the financial markets are starting to sniff that out, and now we have unprecedented margin calls. So we're looking for a low, in this, not a crash, but like a pullback of 20% into or so into October in the U.S. stock market, which absolutely favors Trump. And the Federal Reserve is right now not doing anything about what happened in Japan, which they shouldn't, because it's not our economy, and they're on hold. The knee-jerk reaction in the markets was people predicted the Fed would be cutting interest rates before their next meeting. I think they're loath to do that. They want to wait for. They're saying they want to wait for more data. Unfortunately, I think they're behind the eight ball, and when they do start cutting, it's going to be unprecedented rate cuts, 100, 200 basis points very quickly. Because the economy will be spiraling into a recession sometime after the election. The dangerous part about this is there'll be a rally, we think, into the election. It looks like Trump is going to be favored. And the stock market route into October definitely favors him. And there'll be a relief rally. But Trump's inheriting a very bad economy. And the danger is once he gets in, we roll over and he has to deal with a big mess. And that's where the real financial market damage could begin after the election.
Wow. And that's what Trump's been warning of. He's going to be handed a ticking time bomb.
Yes. Absolutely.
All right. Edward Dowd's our guest. Let's come back, recap that, and then look forward into the different wild cards and people like Raskin, who I know is the highest level globalist planner, saying, oh, we're going to have civil war.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs, only at InfoWarsStore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, my job's easy. I just have to interview whoever is the most accurate, and there are a lot of men and women out there that are smart, been around for a long time, that have accurate records. And one of those is Edward Dowd. He's worked at BlackRock, you name it. I won't go over his bio. And he has been warning of what we're now seeing in the stock markets. I want him to recap that because he just did 5 minutes, but some stations don't carry it. And then I agree this all favors Trump, except the deep state is going to try to kill him again. They've got more black swan events. We have Jamie Raskin, whose dad was a top communist strategist, who wrote best-selling books that the globalists like Obama follow. So he's a top guy, Congressman Raskin, saying, we're just going to overthrow Trump 14th Amendment when he's elected. We're going to have civil unrest and civil war, which, again, they're going to beta test as racial, like you're seeing in England right now. And so, yeah, we can look at trends all day long, except they've got wild card events they're planning to bring in there. And then you've got Israel and Iran. You've got Russia and the situation in Ukraine. I mean, this is a crazy time to be alive. So Edward Dowd, starting over here, people can follow you on Getter at Edward Dowd, or just search your name on X, Edward Dowd. It's a Doward, D-O-W-D-E-D, Ward, W-A-R-D. So recap quickly, and then let's just move into big picture.
Yeah, basically, just to recap, the Federal Reserve cycle is one of booms and busts. We had unprecedented interest rate policy for 14 years. We got inflation after the COVID war. And so the Federal Reserve went on the most unprecedented rate hike in terms of speed and magnitude we've ever seen. And now something is breaking. Every time the Fed raises interest rates, something breaks. And this the first thing to really break is in Japan. Japan has had zero interest rate policy for decades. And bottom line, they finally had to raise interest rates to defend their currency, which was depreciating against the U.S. dollar. They did that last week. That set off a chain reaction of margin calls and something called the yen carry trade, where global investors borrow in yen and buy assets in other countries and other currencies. It's been a great trade for decades. It's very levered, and it blew up, and we saw what happened in Japan. And the most alarming thing is the Japanese balance sheets in their banks are horrendous. The banks' stocks in Japan imploded. We saw moves like we hadn't seen in over 30 years. And with this most recent rally that happened yesterday, the banks hardly bounced. So we just kicked off the ripple effects, and it's going to take time to work through the system. We're looking for a stock market, a pullback, not a crash into October, which will definitely favor Trump, anywhere from 10 to 30%, let's call it 20. And then we'll get a rally once the election happens. But then after that, whoever takes the reins is going to inherit a weakening economy and an implosion. And the Federal Reserve will be forced to lower interest rates at some point.
I'm not a famous stockbroker like you, but when I saw Buffett dump 55% of Apple stock, the number one stock in the world, Friday, I said, look for a major crash or correction Monday. It happened. Was that Buffett knowing this was coming with Japan, or was that him triggering himself?
There's a couple of things you need to understand about someone with that much money. They have to be early. They can't time it. And he started accumulating cash the better part of a year and a half ago. He sold all his Taiwan semiconductor stock when he started to think war might be coming to that region of the world. So he's at the largest cash holding he's ever had. He's at, he owns 4% of the U.S. T-bill market, which is the safest instrument in the world.
So $277 billion and growing, right?
Correct. And it's in T-bills. And T-bills are the safest asset on the planet. They're yielding 5.5%. Basically, Warren Buffett is, and Warren Buffett's not, you know, waiting for an 8% pullback, which is what we just got. Warren Buffett's waiting for a 50 to 70% drawdown in all markets for him to go back in. So he sees what we see. He's not dumb. And Warren Buffett had to be early. So now he's getting rid of some of his more favorite stocks like Apple. He's just reducing exposure and he'll buy them back at lower prices. So, you know, if you want to do what the big boys do, and I'm not giving financial advice, put some of your assets in T-bills or cash or short-term instruments. And I've been saying that for the better part of a year and a half.
Well, I mean, he called the top of the market, didn't he?
He didn't call the top. He's been accumulating cash, but he certainly sped up his decision to start selling fast. He's seeing what we're seeing.
Well, sure. If he was $170 billion a week ago and now he's $277, he's accelerating.
Yes.
You talk about ripple effects. I'm not, an economist or, you know, a financial expert like you that's well-known. But it seems to me if we have weak banks around the world, all over the world, but here in the U.S., and already major regional bank stress, it seems to me like if they're invested in these stocks and that went down, and now the FDIC is talking about bail-ins, it seems like the next big contagion, or what would the next big contagion to be? It seems like banks.
Well, so the ripple effects are many. Let's just start with the first one. Volatility is a measure that every investment manager and trading and hedge fund uses to manage risk. And volatility has been unprecedented lows coming into July. And as volatility rises, that means they have to reduce their position. So one of the ripple effects is people have to sell to get more right with the volatility in the market. It feeds on itself. It's called financial reflexivity. So a lot of financial assets start going down. This affects balance sheets, mark-to-markets. And you're right about the regional banks. The regional banks were in trouble last year. Let's not forget, there was massive bank failure super quick. The decision was to juice the economy. The decision was to bail out banks with these bank term funding program loans and to slow it down. So they managed to put the finger in the dike. But at some point, we're going to see big, big pressure on regional banks. They're upside down. Their assets and liabilities are offsides. And so eventually we'll see a lot of consolidation in the banks. And that'll start happening as the economy gets even weaker and weaker and people are forced to shotgun marriages by the Fed. Usually JP Morgan will buy a regional bank, whatever, that kind of thing.
All right.
It's happening probably in the next 12 months.
Ed, you've been nice answering my questions, but you're smarter than I am on this. So make the points you want to make, and then I want to ask you about black swans, because I see people like Raskin, who I know from studying him, is like, he's in the council of global. He's in the main, he's a decision maker. They listen to him. And he's like, oh, we'll just have a civil war, 14th Amendment. We're going to have civil war. He's not just saying that. I've already been on the receiving end of this guy and his Jan 6 committee. That is very chilling to me. But just first, what else is on your radar?
Yeah, so let me give you some. These are pure speculations on my part, reading the tea leaves from what I see. So the Federal Reserve basically came out yesterday, and they're nonchalant about what happened in Japan. They're going to wait for more economic data before they do anything. So the question is, are they incompetent or do they know what they're doing? They shouldn't do anything, but they should be on high alert. They seemed a little too nonchalant. I think there's a lot of factions going on right now that are worried about the certain events that have occurred recently. Either the Federal Reserve is very incompetent or they're going to do nothing so that the financial markets pull back and that helps Trump. So, there's 50-50, I'm split. It's incompetence and or they're trying to help Trump. The bankers have decided they want to put
and then there's some evidence to that. I hate to say the Federal Reserve is helping Trump. There's some evidence they've been really fighting with Biden. The Federal Reserve has.
They've been very critical of the spending. They've been very critical of the spending. That's something that they have talked about. They say we've done what we can do, but the spending side of the equation is something we don't control. And I think, you know, they know if we look out 5-10 years, we won't be able to, you know, the interest rate accumulation from the deficit will be the biggest part of our budget. And that's when we get into trouble. So I think they've had enough. Personally, I think they've had enough of this regime, and they want to see what happens in the next regime, which would be Trump, is my guess. But this is pure speculation on my part.
I agree. And the Federal Reserve is not everything. You've got the Democrat Party Justice Department. They're their own faction that's been in control of all. They think they're the total boss. They're going to try to kill Trump again. I mean, that is an easy bet.
I'm of the opinion there'll be another attempt, but you know, let's hope we're wrong. This is one prediction I want to be wrong on. I don't want to see that come true. Some other things I'd like to point out. I was talking to a very smart woman who has been saying for a couple of weeks now, she thinks they're going to, after the DNC convention, get rid of Kamala and try to, I don't know how this works, but she thinks Michelle is on deck. And with this VP pick Kamala made today, and the fact that Axelrod came out, you know, he's a Democratic operative, said that there's irrational exuberance in the Democratic Party right now, and that Trump is ahead and it's his to lose.
And they leaked that they kicked her out of a war meeting. Yeah, why would they? That's leaked. That's in mainstream news. Why would they leak they kicked her out because she was an idiot in a military meeting? That's to undermine her. I agree with you.
So this is pure speculation. There's a chance they do a swap out. I think the unprecedented media propaganda campaign we've seen is failing in real time. And Axelrod just told you, hey guys, let's not get too excited here. And so we'll see. I mean, I hope they stick with Kamala personally. I think as we get closer to the election, it'll become apparent to, you know, those who are excited about her in the Democratic Party that they may have made a mistake. So it's the fight for the.
Yeah, but the Democrats wouldn't post on their official site this photo of her with Michelle signs. That's a message.
There's something going on. And again, you and I are analysts. We're trying to predict the future. These are speculations. And, you know, I got to be honest, since July 13th, things have been so insane. I've never seen a news cycle like we've seen during the summer. I mean, it's just unprecedented. We have war in the Mideast getting ready to kick off at any moment. We have financial troubles brewing. We have assassination attempts. And then this Raskin thing that you've uncovered, I watched the video. That is very scary. And when they say that there are going to be mobs of anti-Trump people after the election, you know, most people do not self-organize. So this will be ginned up, in my humble opinion. And if they try that, we're in scary times. I mean, again, you and I talked several weeks ago. This is the most dangerous time in U.S. history we've ever seen. And
no, I agree, but I think what you just said, quantify this, is the globalists aren't in control. Nobody's in control. Things are out of control right now. There's no way to predict what's going to happen because everything's out of control, which makes it even more dangerous.
Correct. And there's different factions, there's different power pockets. They're not all aligned. And I personally think ever since the assassination Trump attempt on Trump, a lot of people are, and also the convictions in New York, a lot of billionaire oligarchs are starting to get nervous that, hey, I'm next. So you're seeing a lot of very rich people run into the Trump camp, worried about how crazy it's gotten. They're like, you know, they embrace the woke mechanisms and they thought it was great, you know, to keep people divided and asleep. But I think their own beast has gotten away from them, and some of them are running away as fast as
exactly as big a sociopaths as a lot of these billionaires are. They're now having sympathy and empathy seeing what's happening to Trump, because empathy, folks, in mammals is not a sign of weakness. It's that you understand that can happen to you too. And so people are watching Trump have all his rights taken away, and they're like, well, wait a minute, none of us are safe. I mean, the due process was put in there by people that weren't sweet cupcakes, folks. They had been robbed over and over again and been through wars. They said, let's build a stable system where we're basically all safe. Instead, that's all being overturned. And that's what the left doesn't get. They've brought us into a zone of lawlessness. That is dangerous for everybody.
Yeah, this unprecedented lawlessness is starting to wake up even those who thought they could make money off of it. And you know, nothing motivates a billionaire more than worrying about the fact their money might be taken from them. And that was a real thing that occurred when Trump got convicted, because it was a kangaroo court. It was no due process, trumped up charges. Even people in finance who've looked at some of these charges, like all he did was take out a loan. The bank did their own work, and they claimed he defrauded the bank, even though the bank never sued for anything. This is finance.
Well, look at the $1.5 billion on me. They know I didn't have anything near that, but they did it as a message, which was a message that was received by the real billionaires. Like, that was a message. We can take everything from anybody we want. And people, but now, like, oh, we got the message.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of factions, a lot of things going on. Even Zuckerberg came out and said, "Yeah, I'm not getting involved." And you know, he's nervous. Everyone's nervous. That was super excited about, you know, what they thought was going to unfold after COVID. And the good news is, the COVID mandates, the COVID vaccine program, that whole control grid system wasn't able to be implemented. So now they're trying to implement. At least in the UK, it looks like they want to implement the digital ID now by using these UK riots as they're used, whatever excuse they can use. They want digital IDs. They want CBDCs. They want mass vaccination programs to control the population. They keep trying to introduce it under different
auspices,
different crises.
Yeah. Well, that's right. So their coups in Venezuela have failed. Their war with Russia has failed. Their thing with China has failed. Their COVID power grabs failed. And now they're going to try to use UK riots to bring in their cashless society. Can't they see everything they're touching isn't working? They should pull back. I mean, if I was an evil mastermind, if I'm failing every front, I'm going to go hide for a while. That's a good, remove yourself from the failure curve. But they don't seem to do that.
Well, some people, not everybody, you know, got the memo and is involved, you know, in a plan. They were incentivized to go along with it. So I don't think Zuckerberg is in the know. I think
no, you're right. He piles onto a trend and he finds out late.
Yeah. So he piled onto a trend and now he's like, "Ruh-roh, what have I done? I'm out. This is getting kooky." And this is what's happened one by one. He's some of these minions who don't know they're minions are opting out, which is good. I mean, this is what we needed to see.
Well, don't you think Musk, who really wasn't a minion, got the memo a few years ago and made his turn? And I saw that as the establishment figuring out we should not go down this road.
Well, you know, I said years ago, if you're a billionaire and you didn't get the memo not to take the vaccine, you're not in the club. And Elon took the vaccine. So, and now
almost killed his brother and made a bunch of his engineers sick. And he actually said, "I didn't get a memo. They're cutting my son's dick off. I didn't get a memo. I got sick." Exactly. He's like, "You just nailed it. He didn't get the memo."
Yep. So if you didn't get the memo not to take the vaccine, you're not in the club. And I know I've heard word of mouth. Some people would be shocked and get the memo, and they're pests. A lot of these people are pests. And, This is what we see. We're starting to see the fraying of the edges of the control system. Again, most of these people didn't know they were in a control system. They were unwitting idiots. But now we're starting to see people resist because they're starting to see the whole picture. And I come back to this. When the vaccine was introduced, they would have been better off making it a saline solution, and they would have been able to, you know, get everybody into their control system. But for some reason, the decision was made, let's kill lots of people. And so that got exposed, and that showed how evil the system is. And the system was sparing no one.
No, I agree. If they came out with a placebo and were the saviors, they'd have got everything. But they were so greedy for the hospital stocks and drug companies to make money on the drugs to treat all the heart attacks and everything that they screwed the pooch.
Yeah, they screwed the pooch. It showed up in numbers. They couldn't hide it. They couldn't hide it in insurance results. They couldn't hide it in the all-cause mortality. They couldn't hide it in the disability numbers. And here we are. And the good news is word of mouth has spread. Most people know the vaccine's a joke and dangerous, even though the mainstream media hasn't even touched this topic. Obviously, you know, I'd love for Trump to talk about this at some point, but, you know, I can't have everything.
That's my next question. You read my mind. What should Trump do? I mean, he should get ahead of this Raskin comment, because that's a real planner. They're going to remove him, 14th Amendment, cause a civil war, play the clip, say he's crazy, come out and say clearly that, you know, they stood down, try to get him killed. That's now known. Trump needs to get more aggressive.
Yeah, Trump needs to get more aggressive. And look, I think the American people would love to hear a statement from him saying that, hey, take responsibility. Say I was duped, but it's my responsibility. I was wrong. We need to pull this vaccine. We need to start investigating how this happened. He would get a lot of credit for that, and it's a big wedge issue right now, even though it's not talked about. The reason why JFK is doing so well is because of this issue. You know, this is Trump. Trump could heal and take a lot of voters.
And notice in the JFK call that leaked 3 weeks ago, Trump's admitting the vaccine was bad.
Yeah. So he needs to publicly step away from it. Unfortunately, I don't think that's in the cards. And he's surrounded by people who are telling him not to do that.
Well, in closing, what else is on your radar, Edward Dowd?
Like you said, I think we're, 89, 90 days out. I just pray that we don't get a suitcase nuke. We don't get anything crazy. I hope we are able to avoid war. Given what I'm seeing, it seems to me it's called flooding the zone. We could get a war, financial turbulence, them attempting to steal the election, race riots, civil war talk. I mean, this is the problem I have is that black swan events, whether they're coincidences or manufactured, are definitely in the offing.
And black swans give birth to black swans.
Correct. Unintended consequences, daisy chain effects that no one foresees. That's one of the things that these planners never do the knock-on effects because they're not critical thinkers. They're just very short-sighted.
They're only one or second order, which I don't understand.
Right. They don't even know how to figure it out.
They just go, "I'll make money on this. Do it."
That's correct. I'll make money on this. Let's do it. I'll retain power. Let's do it. But they don't realize the blowback. These people don't have people that can war game efficiently. I don't understand what they're doing.
Well, that's part of their power, because in a more stable world, they could pigheadedly just take over because they weren't in such a volatile world. But once you get in an end game like this, any wrong move, it just gets out of control.
We have no shortage of chaos. If there was a financial instrument called chaos, I would be long chaos. Chaos is all we're going to see in the next 90 days. And that if I had one prediction to make, that's it. Bar none, we're going to see chaos going forward.
Absolutely. Nothing breeds chaos like chaos. Nothing breeds failure like failure. Nothing breeds success like success. We are in the age of chaos. Edward Dowd, thank you so much for the time. People should follow you on X. Any other websites people should check out?
FinanceTechnologies.com. We have all the vaccine research there. It's spelled with a PH instead of an F. And one quick last message. You know, as this craziness unfolds, remain calm. Don't get in a state of fear or terror or anger. Keep your critical thinking skills on board. Pray to God and you'll be fine. Because once you get in an emotional state, you'll make bad decisions.
Very well said. Talk to you soon. Thanks for coming on.
Take care.
All right. Major insider with the Russians, the Bilderberg Group, the EU. Daniel Estulon knows his stuff. He is coming up after this quick break. And then Roger Stone on Kamala Harris's, or that means Obama's, that means Eric Holder's pick. So critical. I'm going into the fourth hour today. I'm Alex Jones. Follow me on X at Real Alex Jones and Infowars.com/show. Stay with us. Tell you the story, the history of InfoWars MD, one of our biggest and most important lines of high-quality supplements, because it's a story of political attacks and not giving up, and it's an amazing product line that funds our operation. Going back about 3 years ago, during all the deplatforming of InfoWars, not just off the internet, not just with banking, some of the big supplement manufacturers that we were using, some of the best in the country, had been bought up during the pandemic, during the shutdown, and then they would notify us. We had five companies making product for us. Three of them notified us that we're no longer going to work with you because you're Alex Jones and you're InfoWars. So we made a lot of phone calls, reached out to our contacts, and we found one of the biggest supplement makers in the country. I'm not going to say their names. They get harassed, but they're big listeners. And they said, listen, you know we were supplying a lot of the raw materials to several of your manufacturers that are no longer doing business with you, and we would love to put out a private label where we just put your label on our product, and then when people order from you, it drop ships out of our warehouses. And so we added a bunch of their products to our lineup, and I did never really promote them a lot because we were, you know, selling our products and a lot of the products that we developed. But so many of these products that they had put out, again, were the exact same thing that we were putting out. In fact, in some cases, like in the case of Nitric Boost, it's the exact same formula that we private labeled from them before we were even doing InfoWars MD with them. So case in point right now, our version of Nitric Boost, it's so good for your heart and body and cardiovascular system, cleans out your blood. Dr. Minkiewicz has talked about being one of the best formulas out there. Our version of it sold out about 3 weeks ago. Well, their version is just a white bottle from their warehouse, and it's the exact same pill, the exact same people, does the exact same thing, and it's the exact same price. So that's what InfoWars MD is. Take Turmeric 95. Turmeric 95 is called that because it's the strongest curcuminoid concentrate, 95% that they can make. And it turns out that's the company years ago, and I wanted to put out the strongest turmeric available that was actually producing it. So, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, sold out at InfoWarsStore.com, but not their Turmeric 95, which is the same 95% curcuminoid and the same ingredients that boost it. So that's why InfoWars MD is such an amazing line. And because of the bankruptcy attempts to shut us down and the bad CRO we had here before who would not reorder product, we would not have any new product to sell to stay on air if we hadn't set this up with InfoWars MD. Now, they've got over 100 products, and as we speak, we're making labels for the rest of their line. But 17 of their products that are their best sellers, the top of their catalog, we do have at InfoWarsStore.com from InfoWars MD. So, I've told you some of the history, what's behind it. It's amazing. It's super high quality. Here's just a few of the things that are available. Nitric Boost, Good Night's Sleep, Joint Relief Max is amazing, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Probiotic Formula, CBD Full Spectrum, 25 milligram gummies, CBD Full Spectrum, 10 milligram gummies, works great, Turmeric 95, Libido RX, Better Mood, Mushroom Max for mental clarity and your immune system, Superfood Greens, Ageless Vitality Collagen, and a lot more. So if you want to keep InfoWars on the air, at the same time get amazing products, please visit InfoWarsStore.com today and check out the InfoWars MD line of products. There's a bunch of others I didn't mention. We're adding more every few days. So please take action and go to InfoWarsStore.com and secure your InfoWars MD today.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones.
All right, more than 2 weeks ago, Roger Stone predicted who they would be picking as the VP. He is absolutely horrible, evil globalist. He'll be joining us in 30 minutes. But right now, Daniel Estulin, who I've known since like 2006 or so, is a best-selling author, great researcher, amazing person that has contacts everywhere, just dead on. And I wanted to get him on to talk about the different geopolitical developments that are accelerating, future attempts on Trump, Hamas, Israel, Iran, Russia, Venezuela, the huge stock market correction that just happened, everything that's unfolding. As Lenin said, there are times, there are decades when nothing happens, there are weeks when decades happen. We are in a superstorm of all these converging accelerations of technology and of population and culture. I cannot stress to everybody how extremely dangerous the times are, but there's also a lot of good things happening as well. So, Daniel Estulin, thank you so much for joining us. We'll put your websites up on screen, Estulin Media, Estulin.media, and Estulin VZ, or any other sites. You've got a lot of sites, whichever ones you want up. But where should we start right now with all the craziness in our world?
I think Israel and Iran is a pretty good point. I mean, Israel is not crazy. Now, people say to you, so what do you think? We're going to go into a third world war? Is some kind of a celebration? Are you people insane? Do you understand what the third world war might entail? It might entail a thermonuclear war, which means that 4 or 5 billion people will be eliminated immediately, which is, of course, the elite would like that, because you have a $4 quadrillion debt, Alex. You need to somehow write it off. They keep calling aliens to come down and see us. They're not there. So they need to, you know, some kind of a force majeure to be able to write off debts and responsibility. And if you actually kill 3, 4, 5 billion people as a result of a thermonuclear war, get people, you know, big war, not a little tiny, a little piddly little war.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to end the giant Ponzi scheme that's coming to an end. So as horrible as it sounds, they admittedly want a great reset.
They want a great reset and a great reset and a great thermonuclear war. Again, they've been trying. They're pushing Israel-Palestine. They're pushing Russia-Ukraine. They're pushing things in South America. You know, Africa's coming to the fore. You have Taiwan and China. But people just don't want a big thermonuclear war. Now, my question is Israel crazy enough to go to war with Iran? Israel doesn't have the military technical potential to even think about an armed conflict with Iran. I know there's a lot of crazy kooks in Israel who want war.
No, they intend to suck us in.
Well, Israel's population is 9 million people. 25% of that, they're Arabs, and for the most part, they hate Israel. Against Iran's 80 million population. They don't have the bodies to go to war. But again, this is the kind of war that Netanyahu needs. Israel as a nation state doesn't need it. Netanyahu needs this war to stay out of prison. Now, Alex, about 12 or 15 years ago, I can't exactly remember, there's a report, you know, out of Pentagon on how to turn Iran into a subservient lapdog of the West. And one of the key conclusions of the report, in order to take over Iran, a strong, well-equipped and very large ground military contingent is required. Also, the bottom line is that the carpet bombing, as they said, the conclusions they reached in that report, okay, will help, but it's not going to have much of an effect. Why not? There are many reasons, but one of the most important reasons is that Iran has wasted no time since the 1979 revolution. It has built up many underground military bases. And so the conclusion of the Pentagon report back 15 years ago, they postponed the attack on Iran indefinitely. And every time the United States or Israel threatens regime change or some color revolution, the Iranians whisper in their ear, try it, and we block the Hormuz Straits. In other words, Iran would be willing to block 60% of world's oil trade coming through the Straits.
And let me just stop you. I have a family member that was he's a retired military officer. He was the adjunct to one of the top guys in the Middle East, top general. He didn't tell me, he didn't classify, but he told me 15 years ago, and I've told him since then, separate from that report, he said, look, we war-gamed Iran. They already had nukes back then, folks. He said, we go to war with them. It shuts down the world economy. We can't do it. That's the liberals aren't good. Biden and Obama aren't good. They just know they can't win it. Then you've got crazy neocons think they can. Explain that to people.
Well, Iran in the last 15 years has approved tenfold the production of their own weapons. And we're seeing it in the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Russia, 60 years ago, we went into space first. Today, we're buying drones from the Iranian mullahs. Iran's mobilization resource is about 2 million people. That's their standing army, Alex, in a drop of a hat. And the people of Iran, they're patriotic, although they're very critical of their leadership. And unlike the French or the Americans or the Europeans, Iranians, despite cheap Western propaganda, have the right to participate in protest rallies without asking permission from the government and local authorities. And then, if push comes to shove, Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, he steps in and becomes the arbiter between the people and the government. And if the people are right and the government is wrong, the supreme leader can tell the government they are wrong and they should reconsider the action. And by the way, speaking of intelligence, Iranian intelligence is considered one of the best in the world. They're not better than the Russians. They're not better than the Americans. They're not better than the British or the Israelis. But they're one of the top in the world, top five, top six. And at the same time, it's now public knowledge that during the eight-year war between Iran and Iraq, 1980 to 1988, Israeli companies supplied military optics to the Iranian armed forces through third companies, such as the Ari Ben Menashe, for example. And there's another important reason. A lot of people don't really understand. They think it's some kind of a religious thing. It's a democracy. It's not about that at all. One of the most important reasons that nobody's talking about. I went online just before I joined your show. I wanted to see who's talking about this particular point. The reason, the real reason why Iran is in the elite's crosshair, there's something called the North-South Corridor. Now, what is that? It's the International North Transport Corridor. It's a multimodal network of over 7,000 kilometers. That's about, 5,000 miles of sea and rail and land routes for the transport of goods between India and Iran, Azerbaijan, Russia, Central Asia, and Europe. And it's a project of the utmost importance for the future of Iran, perhaps even more important than China's Silk Road to the Chinese. Because for the Iran, the South-North Corridor is a lifeline. Now let's talk about Iran and Israel. For the longest time, these two countries have been declaring, opposite one another and threatening each other in many different ways. Iran says there should be no such thing as a state of Israel. Now, mainstream media report this: Iran wishes death to Israel. They're not saying kill the Jews. Okay, I'm not an apologist for Iran, but they're not saying that. They've never said that. The government never said, let's kill the Jews, as too many people mistakenly believe. What they're saying is the state of Israel is a wrong name for the state. Again, if you kind of, I always quote Thomas's theorem. If people define situation as real, they're real in their consequences. And the Iranians have a very profound appreciation of historical memory, and like the Americans, who can barely, call their country history. You've only been around for 200 some years. We're talking about civilization which has been around for millennia.
4,000.
And so for Iran, the events today, a decade ago, a century ago, two centuries ago, 1,000 years ago, is equally relevant. These are the people of very long memories. And so the Iranian people are very awake, they're very active, they're very creative, they have a very long tradition that they've adhered to all their lives. If you look, for example, at the writings of the Old Testament, which is reflected both in the Bible and the Holy Book of the Jews, the Tanakh, when Moses brought the Jews from the Egyptian captivity to the Holy Land, his brother Aaron spoke for him, since Moses, as we know, had, a stutter. And this Aaron was kind of a strange cat. So what does the book of Exodus tell us? When the Hebrews came out of the slavery in Egypt led by Moses, they carried silver and gold that they had received from the Egyptians. And when Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, he left the Israelites alone for 40 days and 40 nights. And although they were freed from slavery in Egypt by the Almighty, and theoretically they knew about his precepts through Moses, they disobeyed. Remember the story of the gold calf. Now, when the people saw that Moses was delayed in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods and we'll go before us." As for this Moses who brought us up, from the land of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. And so Aaron told them, "Take off your gold earrings, et cetera, et cetera." And so then all the people took off their gold earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from their hands, and with an engraving tool, he fashioned into a molten calf. Okay? So after the conversation between the Lord and Moses, Moses went down the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. And the tablets were the work of God. Okay? Now, but that's not all. They also created the two arks of the covenant. We're talking about an artifact believed to be the most sacred relic of the Israelites, which is described as a wooden chest covered in pure gold with an elaborately designed lid called the mercy seat. Now, according to the book of Exodus, the ark contained two stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. And these arks of covenant are different. The ark, which was in Jerusalem, where the supporters of Moses settled, is supported by the angels. And in the corners of the second ark, which was with the supporters of Aaron, who settled to the north in Israel, is supported by the bulls. And therefore, when they say that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, the Iranians say, "You crazy, this is impossible." Historically speaking and biblically, but again, Iran never said that Israel had no right to exist. They do not like the Jewish state, which has taken this name. By the way, when the question of how to name the state was discussed, one option was to call it Judea, but the party of Aaron wanted it became Israel.
Sure, so just like Israel, Jesus said, there's always a real thing and a counterfeit.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you kind of look at the bigger picture, what's happening in the Middle East, because the mainstream media and a lot of the pundits would like to focus, narrowly focus, as if it was a wrestling match, the good and the bad, the dialectic. So for Israel as a state, the assassination of Ismail Haniyeh is meaningless and unprofitable, because Haniyeh was a political leader of Hamas recognized by Israel. And negotiations were held with him on the exchange of hostages, ceasefire with Hezbollah. So if Israel is not behind the assassination, then who is? The assassination benefits Netanyahu in order to keep his position as prime minister of the country. That's on the one hand. There's another thing, Alex. Iran is selling heavy water to the United States. A lot of people don't know this. United States media is not telling you about this. Possibly through third countries. Now, heavy water contains deuterium atoms that is used in what? In nuclear reactors. And so the United States has begun negotiations to buy enriched uranium from Iran as one of the conditions for returning to the nuclear agreement with Iran from which Trump withdrew. And these negotiations on uranium, needless to say, were also interrupted by the assassinations of Hunayah. Now, if you look at a much bigger picture even than that, in the Middle East and beyond, as I said, we have a $4 quadrillion U.S. debt. Okay.
I was about to try to tie that into the Iranian imminent strikes. What do you see coming from that? The Trump assassination updates, the stock market, Ukraine collapse. I mean, it all is crazy.
You have to understand that, you know, there's the visible players, Alex, and the invisible player. You know how this works. I mean, you're the guy that, you know, covered and uncovered and brought to light, you know, all the evil deeds in the Bohemian Grove. You know how this works. So the visible players, Hamas, Iran, Israel. But if you kind of look at the invisible players, who's behind these players? It's very difficult to believe that Hamas is an independent player. So if Hamas is not an independent player, who's behind Hamas?
Well, Israel founded it. Israel founded it.
Exactly. So unleashing this maximum tensions in the Middle East requires launching Hamas, Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, massacres of Israeli Jews massacring the Arabs, the Israeli settlers' actions against the Palestinians, Palestinians against the Israeli settlers, to prepare the climate. And all sides are controlled from London as all covertly work together on the ground. For example, if you're talking about Hamas, we're talking about the Islamic resistance movement. Hamas, which includes both the military and the political wing, was formed in the Israeli-occupied territories back in 1987 as a kind of an outgrowth of a Palestinian branch of Muslim Brotherhood. And it's an outgrowth of the networks of the British general John Bagot Globe, the decades-long head of the Jordan-based Arab Legion, who fielded insurgent Islamic political groups throughout the Middle East under the pretext of fighting communist infiltration in the region. And so Globe Pasha is also the godfather of the Islamic Jihad, whereas the British co-thinkers operating out of the Shiite city of Nafiev, Iraq, spawned the Hezbollah. And so from its inception, Alex, Hamas's military and terrorist actions against the Israeli military civilian population primarily served one objective: to undermine Yasser Arafat and Palestine Liberation Organization's civil resistance campaign against the Israeli occupation, the Intifada, the resistance movement, which contributed to the establishing the conditions leading sane Israelis to realize that peace with the Palestinians was a strategic necessity for Israel. And so Oslo Accord was the result. And so the Hamas's headquarters outside the Middle East right now, it's in Qatar. Where is it located? It's located in London, which also serves as headquarters of its most overtly agent provocateur wing, the Izz ad-Din al-Qassam. And this Izz ad-Din al-Qassam brigades, they conduct anti-Israeli attacks, including suicide bombings. But this isn't now. This is going back like 30 years ago.
No, you've done a great historical analysis. We'll come back for a full hour later this week or next week if we can. But the time we have, then we know your history. People don't know it. It's important to know history, kind of like Putin gave a lecture to Tucker Carlson. But what do you think is going to happen now with these different factions?
Well, it's a good question because, again, one of the things we need to analyze, Alex, is actually who is representing what interests. We know that London represents Hamas. And behind the Israelis, you have the United States. Okay? Now you have Kamala Harris, and now you have Donald Trump. What does Kamala Harris represent that Joe Biden didn't? Who is he with? What do these people want? And again, you have to put it in a greater context. How do you turn this little conflict into a bigger conflict, which is what the elite want? And the idea is there are some people, sane people, okay, in the United States government, both Republicans and Democrats, they don't want this war to expand because they don't know if they can control it. Because when it goes beyond a certain point of no return, okay, we are staring, you know, face into a thermonuclear conflict. But again, the elite have a problem. It's a $4 quadrillion debt. You need to eliminate that debt. You have a lot of interests behind the players, behind the Hamas, behind the Hezbollah. Iran doesn't want a war. Israel doesn't want a war. The Prime Minister Netanyahu, he absolutely wants the conflict. Because the idea is if that the war stops, okay, we'll go back to the way things were before October 7th. He's going to go to prison. And there's a lot of people in the
And there'll be an investigation of October 7th.
there'll be an investigation of October 7th. That's going to obviously, you know, touch certain interests in the United States. And all this stuff with, you know, like we're looking at 3 months before the elections. And Iran said they reserve the right to attack whenever they want. And Trump said it was going to be yesterday, I think, or today. I see the attack as end of August, beginning of September, when the presidential campaign really gets going, because the United States does not want any hostilities. And in fact, the latest I'm hearing, you know, from my sources, is that the United States government, through the extra-official sources, they're saying, telling the Iranian leadership, if you don't attack, we're going to unfreeze all your money. Okay, they can't afford a thermonuclear war because you cannot control it. There's just too many, you know, elements which you cannot control.
And so it all goes down to Netanyahu is in trouble, and the whole world's on the brink because he wants to stay in power.
I think Netanyahu needs to be eliminated one way or another. There's people in Israel, and especially in the military. The Israeli military do not want Netanyahu as the leader. They want him out because they understand the consequences. Netanyahu's son, by the way, is in Miami, you know, partying, you know, showing off his money, his gold watches, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, if, you know, I don't really understand. You have Netanyahu's son is in Miami showing off his, you know, $50,000 Rolex watch. You know, Fidel Castro's grandson is this enormous, you know, $10 million yacht showing off, you know, a $200,000 bottle of champagne. Why do these people do this? There's a good saying in Switzerland, money likes silence.
Yeah.
People who are really, really wealthy, they never show their wealth. It doesn't mean that they drive a Peugeot. You could drive a Mercedes-Benz, but it doesn't mean you have to drive a $5 million car. And that's what these people who have never had money, that's what they do, because they're thieves. We could say the same thing about Maduro. We could say the same thing about, you know, Netanyahu-san, you know, some of the oligarchs from Russia. It doesn't matter. It's a global phenomenon. But the situation is that the army does not like Netanyahu. They want him out. Is there going to be a coup d'etat in Israel? I don't know. I don't discard that. Okay, if push comes to shove, the army may take the necessary step to get rid of him because he's a danger to world peace.
Well, absolutely, and so, what about another attempt on Trump? I mean, they failed once, and
absolutely, I see it coming. The problem with Donald Trump for the global elite, he represents an alternative global project. Okay. If you say, if like the objective, Alex, after the, you know, post-crisis, is for the winners to sit down at the table in a kind of a Yalta 2.0, yeah, the Yalta 1.0 after World War II, were the winning sides, Soviet Union, England, and who else was there? And Russia, no, Soviet Union, England, who else? And the United States. They sat down in Yalta, Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin, and they discussed what the post-World War II world is going to look like. You're going to need to do the same thing right now. So who's going to sit at this table? You're going to have Putin representing Russia. You're going to have Xi Jinping representing China. You're going to have Modi representing India. And you're going to have someone representing the United States. Who is that going to be? Okay, because neither Trump, or doesn't matter if it's Biden or Kamala Harris or whoever, they don't represent the United States in a sense that they represent a small sliver of the United States, because the United States as a nation state is terribly divided. So how do you unite a country? You can't. And so whoever wins this conflict right now, battle royal, okay, and Kamala Harris cannot win, and the, you know, the polls numbers are allegedly, it's all nonsense, you know that. I mean, she's a cackler. She can't talk. You can't have that person as the president of the United States. I don't care what the deep state
wants. No, I totally agree. So they're in a rock and hard place. Let me ask you this. You always know everything I bring up. Did you see Jamie Raskin? I know he's one of the top leftist planners, dad famous communist, saying, we're going to have a civil war, we're going to overthrow the Supreme Court, and we're going to remove Trump, whether he likes it or not, and we're going to all have paramilitary forces. Now, this guy couldn't find his ass in both hands, but he is one of the top deciders in the leftist Obama cabal. What do you make about a statement? Is that meant to make his people feel powerful, to have confidence?
It's a very good observation, Alex. Again, he's not a player. Just, you can talk about Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab says all kinds of things. And people listen to him, presidents, prime ministers, you know. But why do they listen to him? Because he's important. No, he's not important. He's a clown. They listen to him because he is the voice of the real power behind the throne. That's why they listen. That's why they pay attention to him. That's why they receive him. That's why they read attentively what he writes. Doesn't even matter if he writes or if he doesn't. He's the voice of the elite.
Exactly. So he's the mouthpiece. So what does his statement mean?
It means that there's going to be a civil war in America, something we've been talking about for over 10 years. Okay?
The only, yeah, you again, said it 2 weeks ago, and now he's saying.
I said it 10 years ago, Alec. I said it 10 years ago.
No, but
ago,
I know you did on the show. I agree. You said it when I covered, when I made Endgame with you 17 years ago, you did. We know that. I'm saying 2 weeks ago, you said that. Now he's saying it. What does that mean?
Well, it means that you're going to have a civil war. And the problem is that the United States as a country, we talked about this as well. Like, you and I have a life cycle. Maybe we live 80 years, maybe 90, maybe 100. But every country in the world has its own cycle. And the United States as a country lives on an 80-year cycle, give or take 2 or 3 years. And if you kind of look at it, so for the people understand it, kind of a linear progression. If you go back, not to the, you know, to the Mayflower, a little bit after that. If you go to the end of the 1600s and you start adding 80 years, the first 80-year period takes you to 1776. That's the Revolution. The second 80-year period takes you to 1860. That's the Civil War. The next 80-year period takes you to 1940. That's the Second World War. The last 80-year period takes you to 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023. We're talking about COVID. We're talking about Great Reset, everything else. So the United States historically, as a country, has been able to come out of these crises via some kind of an armed conflict or revolution or Civil War, Second World War, or this, which in many, you know, ways is worse than any of these other conflicts. And so right now the United States is a kind of a, you know, fork in the road. What do? You go third world thermonuclear war, or you go civil war 2.0. And these are the choices they have to make. And so the elite right now behind the scenes, they're trying out different, you know, scenarios.
Well, but I would choose what civil war. I would choose civil war over nuclear war, obviously.
Well, you know, again, unfortunately, you and I are sane individuals. We prefer none of the conflict,
exactly,
and solve things differently. But the thing is that it's absolutely, and there's a reason why you have, you know, Hollywood mouthpiece showing you the film Civil War. I mean, it's absolutely certain. The country is so divided on itself that there's no other way to solve these differences. And had Trump, you know, you and I talked about this before, had Trump, when the elections were stolen from him in 2020, had Trump said, you know, with the American flag in hand, you know, to the barricades, let's go for these people, you know, the United States, by the end of 2021, would have been coming out, you know, the tail end of that civil war, still the number one nation in the world, economically, financially, politically, technologically, et cetera. But Trump chickened out. And as a consequence, right now, the United States is far worse off than it was 4 years ago. The situation is more complex than ever. Russia is stronger than ever. China and Russia are now, you know, biggest buddies. And so the United States is in a very difficult situation.
No, you're right. Stay there, Daniel. Daniel Esselin, stay there. People find you at esselin.media. Do 5 more minutes with us, and Roger Stone's got big breaking news. I can talk to Daniel Esselin all day. Yeah, we don't want civil war or nuclear war, but I would take civil war over nuclear war every day. We'll be right back. You've seen what President Trump has gone through in the last 8 years. And you've seen a lot of the things that InfoWars has gone through. And I want to thank all of you over the years for your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, because without you, we would not be on the air. Now, without getting into a 2-hour-long story, in the process of the bankruptcy the last 2 years, we were basically sabotaged, and the people that were brought in here to supposedly run things didn't reorder product, even though there was plenty of money at the time to basically put this operation in a position of shutting down. But by the grace of God, years ago, I set up backup supplement line from one of the main providers of the raw materials we were using. And so many of these InfoWars MD products are actually our famous products, simply private labeled, and others are different formulas this company offers. They're all top of the line. They're already best sellers. They're already all over the market and in stores and online under other names, but they are all the very best. So this line is called InfoWars MD. Our supplements are basically all sold out. Only a few things are left, like X2, X3, and some of the other amazing products. But with InfoWars MD, you have Turmeric 95. That is the same formula as Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. You have the Nitric Boost. It's so good for your heart cardiovascular system. It is the exact same formula. So our Nitric Boost is sold out. They have their Nitric Boost. They even let us use their name Nitric Boost a few years ago. So they're the original makers of this that Dr. Minkovich and others have talked about being one of the best formulas out there. So these are all really amazing products. You want to check out the line of InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com, and it funds our operation. Get great products and help keep us on the air. I need you to take action. You will love these products. They work really, really good. No matter which one you try, they're already top of the line, tested, private label by us, available right now at InfoWarsStore.com under the InfoWars MD label. Thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We'll be right back.